Hello and welcome to episode 56 of the Mama Love podcast. I am Annie Love and I am so glad that you are here. Thank you so much for being here. Today I want to talk about something that I observe a lot as a life coach, also something that I experience, especially as a woman and a mother. And it's a really important topic, and I think that is something that we need to talk about more. As women especially, it's very common for us to just suck it up, to stay quiet, and just get on with things. This short little podcast is just a rant, maybe a reminder that it's okay to ask for what you need, even if it feels hard. Welcome to the Mama Love podcast. My name is Annie Love and I'm a mum, a wife, a life coach, creative spirit and all-round positive thinker. Our parenting journey has been, a bit of a roller coaster, and I've learned the hard way how to navigate through some pretty tumultuous times. This podcast is about finding joy, even in the midst of darkness, and believing that we can find light on the other side, even if the landscape is different to how we expected it to look. We're going to share stories and conversations along the way and talk about how we create our best life, even when things feel hard. Thank you for being here. Sometimes it's hard to ask for what we need. I totally get that. And I feel the same way. This is not your fault. We are raised in a society where we're praised for colouring within the lines, for being a good girl, for not being too loud or too much. Most of us were raised on the theory that children should be seen and not heard, right? We're afraid of speaking up, of using our voices, of taking up too much space and being seen as too demanding or high maintenance. I'm not sure if you've read the book Untamed by Glennon Doyle. I really enjoyed it, but the layout of the book, I guess the structure of the book can be a little bit unusual. So it took me a little while to get my head around it, but there are some really important and powerful points that are made by Glennon Doyle in the book. But the basic premise of it is that we, especially as women and mothers, are kept tame and we're encouraged to be selfless because, as a quote in the book says, the easiest way to control women is to convince women to control themselves. We are givers. We give and we give and we give to everyone around us, but rarely to ourselves. And if we do, we usually feel guilty about it. It is great to be a giver, but not at the expense of our own joy, our own happiness, our own mental health, our own health in general. The problem with being selfless, with giving so much without tending to our own needs, with being a martyr, is that we believe that our own needs, wants, and desires aren't important. And we start internalizing that we, by extension, aren't important. We also demonstrate to our partners and children that we don't matter, that our needs and desires and our wants don't really matter. There was a really powerful quote in Untamed about motherhood and its martyrdom. And it says, "Mothers have martyred themselves in their children's names since the beginning of time. We have lived as if she who disappears the most loves the most. We have been conditioned to prove our love by slowly ceasing to exist." What a terrible burden for children to bear, to know that they are the reason their mother stopped living. What a terrible burden for our daughters to bear, to know that if they choose to become mothers, this will be their fate too. Because if we show them that being a martyr is the highest form of love, that is what they will become. They will feel obligated to love as well as their mothers loved, after all. They will believe that they have permission to live only as fully as their mothers allowed themselves to live. If we keep passing down the legacy of martyrdom to our daughters, with whom does it end? Which woman ever gets to live? And when does the death sentence begin? At the wedding altar? In the delivery room? Whose delivery room? Our children's or our own? When we call martyrdom love, we teach our children that when love begins, life ends. This is why Jung suggested there is no greater burden on a child than the unlived life of a parent. So I wonder if you can ask yourself, what example are you setting for your children? This book talks about mothers and daughters, but I believe it's just as important for our sons to see and understand that their mothers matter, that the women in their lives matter, and demonstrate how they need to care for their future partners and children as well. I'm not sure about you, but when I don't ask for what I need, the resentment starts building. I start to have this little voice in my head like, oh gosh, I'm the only one that ever does this job. I start taking on this victim role. And when we continue to push down all of those feelings, there surely has to be a longer term impact on our bodies. It might be as simple as the energy leak that happens when we're constantly thinking about something without actually resolving it, but it's a source of stress that our bodies don't need. When we ask for what we need, we may not always receive it. And I think we have to go into any conversation understanding that. But we are allowed to ask in every scenario with our partners, our children, our friends, our family, our work colleagues, even on social media. The people around us are not mind readers. They don't know what we need unless we ask for it. More often than not, they're happy to be asked, but we need to give them the opportunity to step up. So here are some little tips that I've been thinking about to get you started as you start asking for what you need more and more, I hope. Number one is self-care. Yep, that old chestnut again. I know I bang on about it a lot. But when we take the time for ourselves to get quiet and listen to our bodies and understand what we need, it's easier to ask for what we need. And it also means that we're less likely to get to the point of explosion or burnout where the option to ask for support gets taken away from us. Number two is understand your position. What is it that you want to ask for? Question if it's something you actually really want. What are you willing to negotiate on and what's a deal breaker? When you understand what your boundaries are, it makes it so much easier to enforce them. Number three is drop all the stories. Often we stop ourselves asking for what we need because all the fears and resistance and stories pop up. You know what? You don't need to analyze whether or not you deserve this thing you're asking for. It's okay for you to ask for what you need. Feel the fear and do it anyway. Number four is consider your timing and context. Now, I do not mean to say that you need to calculate everything out to a T and have the perfect conditions before asking for anything that you need, but sometimes context matters. So if you're about to broach a tougher or more substantial conversation, for example, with your partner, it's going to be easier to communicate openly and calmly if your partner isn't about to run off and jump on a work call in the office. Or you're in the middle of witching hour with small children screaming at your feet and no one can actually hear each other anyway. But if you're asking for help with those small screaming humans, absolutely, just do it. But sometimes we need to take context into consideration. And number five is ask with commitment. Be specific and back yourself. Knowing what you want and asking clearly without apologizing will make asking for what you need much easier. I absolutely know that when I ask my husband Ben about something where I need his buy-in, he is always on board so much faster when I can articulate that it's important to me. Because if he can see that it's important to me, it's important to him too. But if I'm all wishy-washy about what it is I actually want, he's less likely to like pay attention to what I'm actually asking him, let alone to have the buy-in as well. It takes a certain level of vulnerability to ask for what we need, and good communication skills really do help. Go into every conversation with the goal of finding a resolution that makes all parties feel better. Explain your feelings without placing blame or getting defensive. State what you need, but also leave room for heartfelt discussion and compromise. You need to be a good listener as well. It's so normal for us to feel nervous about broaching tricky topics and being vulnerable enough to ask for what we truly need. But as Brené Brown often reminds us, vulnerability is the birthplace of love and belonging. True love requires vulnerability, and you can't be vulnerable unless you're willing to overcome your resistance to asking directly for what you need. And by asking, we're showing up as who we are, who we really truly are, and we're allowing the people closest to us to understand us better. Brené says, vulnerability is the birthplace of love, belonging, joy, courage, empathy, and creativity. It is the source of hope, empathy, accountability, and authenticity. If we want greater clarity in our purpose or deeper and more meaningful spiritual lives, vulnerability is the path. I know that that is certainly true in our marriage. There has definitely been times when I have felt nervous about tackling a big conversation with Ben. But even if the conversation hasn't gone particularly smoothly, it always feels better when we're on the other side of it, when we've been brave and vulnerable and communicated openly. It opens up this certain level of spaciousness in our relationship where we know we can be ourselves as well as being together. It can feel really hard, but it is always worth it. Asking for what we need can definitely feel hard sometimes. It's been something I've been really consciously practicing for some time, and I'm definitely not a ninja, but it does get easier with practice. We have to keep practicing. Simply having an awareness of it is a great start, and honoring your boundaries. You matter. So allow yourself to be seen and for your feelings to be felt and to be known. Let's make a promise to each other to keep showing up and asking for what we need, okay? We are so worth it. I'm going to leave you with one last quote from Glennon Doyle's book, Untamed. I am here to keep becoming truer, more beautiful versions of myself again and again forever. To be alive is to be in perpetual state of revolution. Whether I like it or not, pain is the fuel of revolution. Everything I need to become the woman I'm meant to be next is inside my feelings of now. Life is alchemy, and emotions are the fire that turn me into gold. I will continue to become only if I resist extinguishing myself a million times a day. If I can sit in the fire of my own feelings, I will keep becoming. Here's to all of us continuing on this journey to becoming. Hey, thanks so much for listening to today's episode of the Mama Love Podcast. I am so grateful to have you here. If you love the show, I'd be honoured if you could hit subscribe. Perhaps you'd like to hire me as your very own coach, cheerleader, and support crew. You can find out more about my coaching services over at mamalove.com/coaching. That's mumma-love.com/coaching. Or just come and chat to me on Instagram or Facebook at mamalove. Talk to you soon.